Well, the first thing to consider is making sure that you have great content, because if you don't have that, your building blocks are not going to be there. So make sure you've got good content and look at what the, you know, ultimately it really comes down to what the cost is. You know, what does it cost to support each of these different things? What can I expect to get revenue out of for these individual things? Is this one going to pay for itself, or is this one going to be a loss? Do I have to go get my sales team out there and get them cranking to go ahead and create some new sponsorships? Maybe. You probably will. So those are things to keep in mind for sure.
Welcome to the News Nirvana Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana Podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive, and you can connect with them at BloxDigital.com. Hello, and welcome back to the News Nirvana Podcast. I am your host, Nick Parker. With me today from Blox Digital, the director of OTT and video, Sean Evans. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
I always like it when my overlords at Blox Digital let me get their people on and talk a little bit. So this will be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is a topic. It's actually it's cool because we're going to set up the following episode too. We're talking about video. We're talking about the different platforms, all those crazy choices that news organizations have now of how to grow our digital video content, how to use that to grow audience, to keep audience, and obviously we always want to go get more revenue. So, but before we start, Sean, you got a pretty cool title, director of OTT and video. Like, all of the things that we want to talk about are right there. How do you get that title?
Well, I worked in broadcast for almost 9 years in the digital department. And when I was working in that role, I learned how to do a lot of different things. And I also have a software development background that I used for many years before joining the broadcaster. So it was a natural progression to get into video that maintains apps and websites for VMS content.
That begs a big question. How do you go from software development to broadcast news?
Well, it's interesting. I was able to do some software development when I first joined the broadcaster. So that's how I ended up working for the company. I came in as a web developer, and things just evolved over the years.
I think that's a common story that you're going to hear from a lot of people in the news industry. Well, I started out doing this, and then my boss said they needed something else, and eventually I'm doing a whole other thing.
Right. That's how you grow, right?
It's how you grow, but I feel like in our industry that happens so much more than elsewhere. You just got to learn so much.
Right.
Tackle and constantly improve how we produce and deliver news.
Got to be ready for all the new tech, right?
That's right. Well, good. That's a great segue, because that's what we're going to dig into today. We're going to talk about tech, and we're going to talk about things that it is going to be a classroom today, really. We're going to talk definitions of boldface words. We're going to talk about things to consider as we get in, because look, it can be daunting and it can be confusing to talk about fast channels, talk about OTT, talk about video on demand. I mean, like, there's a whole list. We're going to narrow it down a little bit, but we're going to have a pretty good conversation, I think, to make adding these tools into your portfolio easier as a news organization.
That's the goal.
Today, we're getting into, I think, a popular topic, but we're going to start kind of with some basics, because everybody's talking about video. Everybody's looking at, hey, let's launch that fast channel. Let's put more video out. I get confused, and maybe it's just because I'll ask this of my guest. Maybe it's just because I'm a bit of a dummy and I haven't caught up to everything yet, but it would be a good idea for us to kind of start with the basics and kind of set a baseline. Like, what are we talking? What does this mean? All right. So am I the dummy in the room or?
No, you're definitely not the dummy. It's really interesting. Everyone has a different definition of what a fast channel is, and what it is to me may not be the same to you and to any of our customers. So it's a great opportunity for us to go through some of the terms that flow into video in general and fast channels, just to give a background so everyone understands roughly what it is and how it works.
Right. You know, and I kind of want to start here because I think when we start talking about channels and ways to add more video, like we all are either aggressively or through fear embracing the new technologies, realizing that we have to have more video. Like, video is a part of our news delivery systems, whether you're legacy print, whether you're a TV station, a radio station, we just have to have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have more video. We have to figure out how to deliver that better for our audience, but also use it even in revenue streams, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. so important. But I think the problem is people throw out all the ways to do it, and you hear one more often than not, and you jump in sometimes without knowing what it is. So let's just start at the very beginning. What the heck is a fast channel?
A fast channel is a combination of videos and advertising blocks, to put it as simple as possible. It's very much like a linear television channel that we all grew up watching. It's just consumed in a digital form, and the ads that are inserted are inserted using ad servers and so forth, instead of an actual video playout that's in a television station.
So what do we need to know when that, you know, somebody sits in our meeting room and tosses this out? It's like, this is the next thing we need to do. What, you know, you talked about terms, and I hate making this like a school day, but I think, you know, what are those bold-faced words that kind of can set the table?
Sure. So obviously we're talking about video, and one of the first terms that comes up is VOD or VOD. And that stands for video on demand. So if you have videos that are displayed on your website, an app, or a CTV app, and a user can locate those videos and tap one and watch it, you have video on demand. Fast channels utilize videos, but in a little bit of a different approach, where you don't have the user interaction there. You tune in, you see what's going. It's like a conveyor belt of content. You join it as it's in progress and you consume it, which is different from a VOD asset.
Why are we talking about that then in this day and age, right? Because I feel like the way I use technology and the way I think my audience uses technology is they want mm-hmm. to pick and choose. Why is mm-hmm. this kind of more constant streaming, right? Where I guess linear is the way you described it earlier, where mm-hmm. you're going to mm-hmm. get in and whatever's playing is what's playing, almost legacy TV.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that an important thing for us?
It's really interesting. I've put a lot of thought into this myself because I grew up watching traditional television. And I think there's a balance between just looking for something that's on, that you can join in and have on, versus making a conscious decision on what to watch. And I think it really comes down to both of those things. They work together, and, you know, different platforms have a mixture of both on them now. So, you know, it's just, to me, it's just an easier way to consume the content. You know that you like real estate, or you know that you like home improvement, and you find one of those channels, you click it, and you know for the next however long you want to watch it, you're going to have that type of content.
So it's really creating a user silo.
Yeah. You know, you look for something that people are familiar with and they are comfortable with and they want to consume.
I think when everybody, when we start talking about it and we start thinking about how do we implement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that all new content? Is that repurposing content? It's how are you, and I know I'm bouncing around a little bit here, but how mm-hmm. are you choosing what those silos are and finding,
right.
you know, finding what your audience wants to turn on?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's, first of all, you have to have the content, right? You can't display anything if you don't have the right content. And if you don't have the right content, people aren't going to want to consume it. So you have to look to, what resources do you currently have? What have you created? Can you repurpose that? Should you repurpose that? That's also a question, right? And do you have enough of that content to keep that channel fresh? And there is a lot of data out there that states there are some minimum number of hours that you should have in a fast channel, how often it's updated and so forth. So these are all things that you have to think about. It's sometimes if you have a, let's say you have a cooking show that you've done for 10 years and it's a half hour, you could probably create a channel for that. That's interesting content and it's somewhat evergreen and, you know, people would love to watch it. Now, if it's something that's more specific to the time that you're in, you may have to think a little bit more about that.
I would think that using evergreen type content is probably a little easier entry.
Sure. Sure. You have, you know, the example that I just gave you, there are hard drives full of that content sitting around. You just need to get it into a platform and turn it into a channel. So that barrier is a little bit lower because you already have the content. Then you just need to figure out how you're going to get it to the user.
You mentioned just a second ago about, you know, some studies that say how much time.
Mm-hmm. Like
what is that consideration of, do I have enough content? How much more do mm-hmm. I produce? How often am I going to have to produce?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, obviously everybody can have their own opinions about this, but a couple of hundred hours of content and updating 4 times a year is probably a good general idea. But once again, everybody's got their own opinions on that.
What other things are you discussing with people as they explore this, like things to consider?
Well, it's you have to talk about the workflow, how that content is going to get to whatever the platform is. You have to identify a platform that you can use. You have to understand the costs of the platform and revenue that you can expect to get from the platform when people consume the content.
Well, let's jump in there on about identifying platform. Okay. And
sure.
I know that there are different brands and different service providers and all of those things, mm-hmm. but I think more of in the specific silo of fast channel that we're talking about here, mm-hmm. what are we looking at in different platforms?
So what you're looking at is you're really looking at a cloud-based solution where you upload content to that platform and you schedule the content in what's really more like a program guide. You know, it starts around 8 o'clock in the morning. You go throughout that. The platforms themselves, they vary, you know, they vary in the user interface on how you schedule the content. They vary in the features that you have related to on-screen graphics that you can add if you want. There's advertising differences in how advertising is implemented. And of course, there's always a wide range of cost for those platforms.
What are some of, your experience is the technical side of things. So mm-hmm, right. what are some of those tools that you're going to have to use or have in place to be able to activate these platforms?
Well, with you have to have a place where your video exists currently, where you're gathering that video. For example, with Blocks VMS, all of your videos are stored within our VMS, and that can be used to feed these channels.
When you were talking about repurposing old content, are there issues? And I'm trying to be very basic here, just to get everybody, like, my goal is to get everybody to the same page. So can we just go back and reuse anything?
I guess it's really it really comes down to
rather than content.
Oh, technical. Well, you know, you have to have the video has to meet the requirements of the platform. So, you know, if you don't have HD video and it doesn't have a certain level of requirements, you know, but there are some stations out there that have content that is not HD content, and it has to be letterboxed and things along those lines. So those are things to think about as well.
What's the time cost there for doing those kind of upgrades and updates?
That's interesting. I think I can't really speak to taking non-HD content and bringing it to an HD format, but in general, if you have a large archive of content, if it's well organized, it's going to involve one of two things. One, you could ship that hard drive off to a provider and they can, and you know, pull it into their platform and go from there. Otherwise, you can upload it manually, or if your content has been entering a video management system, then it can be imported using the VMS connections.
Okay, so we've kind of talked about then, you know, choosing platforms, looking at those things. What's a next step? What is the next consideration that orgs should be talking about?
Well, one of the key things is determining how it's going to be consumed and where. A traditional FAST channel, by definition, FAST stands for free ad-supported television. So by definition, the goal of a FAST channel is to have that channel featured in as many platforms as possible so that advertising can be in the picture, right? So getting a channel featured on a platform is not a straightforward task. And there are studios out there that generate content and create FAST channels as their daily livelihood. And these are large studios. So there's a lot of competition to get a high quality FAST channel featured on these different platforms. And we're talking about Freevee, Pluto TV, Samsung TV, services like that.
Right. Well, so I, you know, specifically though, I think that's a different ball game, right?
Oh, it is.
And what our news organization, and I say our, I just mean our colleagues out in the world. I think that's a different ball game. So when we're looking at okay, we're gonna collect our video, but you were saying, you know, how and who we're delivering to. What is that discussion?
Right. What I see this as is hitting our own customers. So you create the channel is featured within your company's app, your television station's app, your newspaper's app, website, mobile app, CTV app, whatever you happen to have. And that's how it's consumed. You're targeting your specific customers. We're not trying to get our channels featured in those platforms and competing with those guys that we just can't quite compete with. What we're trying to do is create a good experience for our customers to gain more visual time in our products.
What are we seeing? And this might not be a fair question for you, but what are we seeing with this kind of thing in, you know, from audiences? Do we know kind of what they're gravitating to?
I can give you my opinion. I can't give you real facts here,
fair question.
My opinion is, I think people want to see a genre of content and a single genre. So if they're going to go in and look for some sort of a constant on stream to watch, in my opinion, it needs to be predictable. and it needs to be consistent. And that's a single genre of content, whether it's real estate, travel, sports, whatever it happens to be. There are some use cases where you can mix content, and that may be maybe something that some customers are interested in. But to me, and I'm calling from my desires as a consumer, I like the single focus genre approach.
The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. What are you, as you've worked with customers and news organizations out and about to develop these tools, what are you seeing from them as to how they, not only how they're using it, but what are they asking you about how they should implement?
A lot of the questions are just technology-based questions, not content-based. And I think that's where we have an opportunity to really educate people more, because the content is extremely important. If you don't have good content, it doesn't matter how many different platforms you use and create and how elegant and how beautiful the end result is, the wrapper that the content's in. If you don't have the content that people want, it's going to be a challenge. And I think that's where things come up. We get a lot of questions on technology. Can you make this happen? Can you get video from here to there? And sure, we can do that. But there needs to be some discussion about when the content is going to air on these channels, what it's going to be, and does it make sense? You know, does it make sense to do this? We may have a pile of content that's been sitting around, but does it make sense to do this? And are we going to get a return on that? That's a big question, because these platforms are not inexpensive to spool up channels within.
Let's go backward to that technology question that you just said. And I know that you were a little bit vague, probably on purpose, but my thought is, if one person's asking, a lot of us are going to ask you this, can I get my video from point A to point B? What kinds of things are people talking about there? Like, what are some of those hurdles and obstacles to overcome to take these piles of video, repurpose them, and put them into this new platform?
Quality of the video. The platforms have requirements, and the video that enters into whatever storage platform the customer is using is going to have an impact on that. Some platforms are a little more lenient than others. Some require broadcast quality video to be ingested in the system. And a lot of it is workflow. You know, there is a workflow to getting video from the station or newspaper into a storage system like a VMS. And the idea there is that you add on to that workflow. You don't just replace it. So if you're going to expand to a different type of content, you try to look at how you can learn from your existing workflows and replicate those, and then just send that content off to one of these platforms.
I assume that people in your position and teams that you work with help a lot with establishing those kind of best practice workflows. What does a workflow look like?
Well, you have to look at where the video is coming from, you know, and how it gets pulled into the video management system. A lot of the video is manually uploaded. You can have video that is captured from online live newscasts. And when that video enters in, then you have to determine, you have some tagging and so forth to make sure that it flows through to the destination properly. And looking at that from how that content gets into the system and how it ultimately ends up where people can view it is where you have a lot of room for improvement and inefficiency, a lot of it, efficiency increasement that you can do there.
It seems like that is probably a huge part of the process. Obviously is workflow, but this seems to be kind of new and harder for us.
Well, it's extremely important because we have very in newspapers and broadcasters, just like everywhere, there's a very limited amount of staff that you have, and you have a limited number of hours that you have available. So when you're asking staff to add things onto their plate, they need to make sense and they need to be as efficient as possible so that we can keep everybody happy.
What else on this? And I want to shift gears in just a little bit here, but what else are, I guess, considerations and things that people should know as they look into establishing this, a FAST platform?
Education, really. You know, there has to be, and it's tough, right? Because a lot of our customers, they don't know much about these platforms. They may lean into us at times to get ideas on it, but not as often as you might think. And a lot of times things start out with, oh, hey, check out this vendor I ran across at NAB. You know, and they say we can do this and this and this. And then the discussions just start happening internally. And then it comes up, well, how do we connect these things and make this work? You know, when an agreement may already be established.
Right. Right. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit because you said this at the very beginning that sometimes, you know, your success path is really a combination of different things. And mm-hmm. also, you know, the other thing that people talk about is OTT mm-hmm. and mixing that in with your plan. So let's just go back to the beginning again and talk about the differences there and what this delivery system is.
Okay, back to naming basics, right?
We're still in session. We're still doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, OTT stands for over the top, and OTT.
This is the Sylvester Stallone movie, right?
No. A little bit different. A little bit. And so this OTT represents consuming video on demand content from multiple device types, and that's where it sets itself apart from CTV, which I'll get into in a moment. OTT could be a phone. It could be a browser on a desktop computer, etc. CTV is connected television. And what we're talking about there is we're really talking about Fire Sticks, Apple TVs, Rokus that are connected to a television. And those devices are providing the interface to consume the video and the streams.
Okay. Well, again, I think that I'm going to go back to the question I had at the very beginning. How are we choosing? We throw all these things out, and really mm-hmm. the question that, you know, these meetings start with, I want more video. Give me more video. Mm-hmm. Find mm-hmm. me more money and more audience with video.
Right.
So you're looking at each of these kind of options, whether it's going to be one over the other or a combination thereof. Mm-hmm. What are we thinking, I guess, and pitting against each other as we weigh the options?
Well, if we were to step back and look and back to the first thing we talked about, which was video on demand, you have video assets and you want to provide them to your customers. And that's relatively straightforward. You can have a mobile app. Our company provides mobile apps and CTV apps, and it works straight off of our VMS. The tagging that we mentioned directs the content to the specific locations of these different apps. You can implement pre-roll video advertisements in these videos to start monetizing. And that is a relatively easy way to get your video surfaced to more devices. It's a lot more straightforward than a fast channel approach because it's part of the platform and the products that my company provides. So it's relatively straightforward and easy for me to say, oh, it's easy, you know, but it's just part of our suite, you know, and it makes it easy to get that video out there. Whereas a fast channel, because it is a stream, it's not just selecting a video and watching it and so forth. It's a stream. It's always on. It has to have a server running all the time to provide it, and you have to consume it somewhere. And it does require extra services to do that.
These are all different tools with different delivery systems. I'm the old guy running a news organization. Can I just buy one and it does them all? Is that fair?
It's a fair question, but it might not be a fair answer, right? So, not really, because a lot of times, you know, to get all of the pieces there, fast channels require some special resources and a special scheduling interface and so forth. And that's something that has come up in the past few years, and it is a little bit different than a video management system that's consuming VOD content. Think of it like this. Netflix is essentially a VOD asset driven application. Right. So it's not a fast channel. It doesn't contain fast channels, at least not yet. It probably will. Some of its competitors, Hulu and so forth, they are a mixture of video on demand assets and these live fast channel approaches also. Hopefully I answered that question. I think I did.
I think so. And again, I'm going to keep using the bad classroom analogy, but I keep trying to think of, you know, what are these basic things that we need to consider. And as we look at these options and figure out what's best for us, whoever our individual organization is, and how to do that, because we all are chasing new audience. We're all, you know, chasing audience retention, and we are always chasing new revenue.
Well, the first thing to consider is making sure that you have great content, because if you don't have that, your building blocks are not going to be there. So make sure you've got good content, and look at what ultimately it really comes down to what the cost is. You know, what does it cost to support each of these different things? What can I expect to get revenue out of for these individual things? Is this one going to pay for itself, or is this one going to be a loss? Do I have to go get my sales team out there and get them cranking to go ahead and create some new sponsorships? Maybe. You probably will. So those are things to keep in mind for sure.
I'm gonna ask another maybe not fair question. What are some as you look out and you work, you know, you work with customers, you're working with your team to develop and enhance the tools. But what are some examples of things that are working of some news organizations that have done a good job? Maybe that people as they listen to this, like, hey, go check this out and see what others are doing.
Yeah, once again, unfair question, but I'll do my best. I built
my career off R&D, rob and duplicate, man. See who's doing well, and make it for yourself.
Well, I guess I'll speak in a more general sense. So I would turn it around and say, what do you consume? How do you consume your content? And what do you find interesting? And, you know, that's the way to look at it, you know. I think obviously sports is always interesting, especially local sports, if it's high school and so forth, because parents go nuts for their kids, you know, watching their kids, and they're very committed. So local sports is always a good one. Excellent weather content is still important.
I'm always amazed. And I don't know why that I think I'm in the minority, but I am always amazed at the people who just want to watch weather all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
That person.
Yeah. It's, I don't find it overly interesting, but I'm interested in the process, you know, because I look at the technology that it requires for them to create what they're talking about, you know. But there is a lot of science there. It's not as simple as a lot of people think. I got to know several meteorologists over the years, and boy, those guys are with it. They are really bright, and there's a lot of analyzation that goes on before a broadcast occurs. It's amazing.
That's fair. Maybe it's just I don't like that they're that much smarter than me.
Well, there's always going to be somebody.
You know,
right?
We all have our favorite, like, you know, pieces of the news, right? And things that that we enjoy. And I've always been like, you know, people want to see the weather all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally a weather channel for what, 40 years now?
Mm-hmm. Right. It's still something that's out there and people enjoy looking at. I mean, you have to have the weather to plan your life. So it's an important thing, regardless of what your age is.
And almost every TV station will tell you too that their social media followings and their special video, right? Their extra videos almost all mm-hmm. come from the weather team.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's interesting that you brought that up, extra video content. That's what is really, really important. People love to get to know who they're watching. So, you know, if they sit down and they have an informal conversation like we're having here, talking about how they do their job and what tools they use and so forth, people love that type of content. So that's another way that you can take your existing content that you might create. So let's say you create a 2.5 minute weather forecast video for the day or whatever. Let's say you create a 5 to 7 minute video that talks about how you got there, you know, and that's an accompanying asset to go with that other video asset. And it's really interesting. People enjoy that type of stuff.
I think that is an important point. You know, we've spent a lot of time on this show too, like kind of, you know, pushing back on the narratives about the media. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that, and I've heard other people say this too, that part of the way that we can bring audience back and bring back trust is they still need to get to know us. I mean, you are absolutely right. Mm-hmm. People want to know who is the anchor on TV, whether it's weather, sports, news, whatever. They want to know who mm-hmm. the local reporter at the newspaper is, mm-hmm. see at a council meeting or a high school football game. Right. Whatever. And a lot of that has gone away as small organizations have kind of disappeared, that people don't know mm-hmm. their neighborhood reporter anymore. So how can they trust, you know, the guy from the state capitol or Washington DC, right? All of those things.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. Not only do people enjoy getting to know, but I think it's important that we let them know who we are and how the process works.
Well, it's super important because when you're building that relationship, you're building loyalty, you know, loyalty to your brand, and that's what's going to bring people to all of these products that you're going to try to figure out how to create and so forth. You know, it's that loyalty and that personal connection is where, you know, where it can really get good.
What is, you've kind of hinted a little bit, but you said earlier you like the one genre approach. So now I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your genre? Mm-hmm. What do you want to go watch?
So there's two that I gravitate towards. Anything automotive oriented where somebody's taking an engine apart or something along those lines. And I'm a sucker for this old house. I think it's nostalgic to me because I grew up watching it on Maryland Public Television. And, you know, it's that loyalty and connection, right? We were just talking about, it brings back memories watching these guys talk.
We've spent some time. We've talked about like what to consider, what the word terms, the boldface words mean and all mm-hmm. of that. We're hoping to get past the fear and that we can settle in and choose these new things. Why should I, as a legacy newspaper or anyone else, why should I jump in and really tackle one or more of these elements?
Well, we'll take the simplest one first, which is video on demand. You have to have video. It's engaging, and people watch videos of all types. And if you don't have video, then I think you're missing out on an audience. And you have to have the tools, the right tools in place to allow them to consume it. And it can be a combination of apps, websites, social media teases, things along those lines. I think that's the most basic. If you're not into video yet, you need to get your foot in the pool with what we just talked about, and it's not a scary process to get into. Thinking about the other big topic that we've been talking about, fast, you definitely need to have your video on demand workflows in place before you even consider that, because if you don't have a way to get the content into a system that can push it up and create that fast channel, then you're not going to get there.
I think that's a really, really important note there at the end, and something that we should keep pushing is start with those basics.
Mm-hmm.
Get that content ready and your workflow in place.
Right. It's always the basics that get you right. You know, you need to have good content that's interesting. It needs to be updated frequently to keep people's interest, and you have to give them a nice, easy way to consume it.
Well, Sean, I appreciate your time today. And I know we bounced around a little bit, but I feel like that's how these meetings go when you're talking about these, implementing new things. You're going to bounce around, but we can map it out and put some order to the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was good to go in all the different directions we went in.
If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh, they can email me right at sevens@blocksdigital.com. I'm always happy to talk to customers.
Well, Sean, again, I appreciate it. I thank you so much for coming on, spending some time with me. That will wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time. The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blocks Digital. Connect with them at blocksdigital.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act now.